Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias. This episode is going to take a look at some of the big stories regarding oncology biosimilars throughout the month of September, including two FDA approvals and the withdrawal of a European application. At the beginning of the month, the FDA approved Fresenius Kabi's pegfilgrastim biosimilar referencing Neulasta, Stimufend, also known as pegfilgrastim FPGK. The approval marked the sixth pegfilgrastim biosimilar to be approved in the United States. When launched, Stimufend will be used to treat patients with cancer undergoing chemotherapy who are at a high risk of febrile neutropenia. Towards the end of the month, the FDA approved another oncology biosimilar, Celltrion Healthcare's Vexalma, which references Avastin, also known as bevacizumab. It is the fourth bevacizumab biosimilar to receive FDA approval and will be used to treat several types of cancer. In addition to the FDA approvals, the United Kingdom's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency also approved Vexalma. The approval marked the third oncology biosimilar developed by Celltrion to be approved by the regulator, and the news came less than a month after the European Commission granted Vexalma marketing authorization. However, Prestige Biopharma withdrew its marketing authorization application for its trastuzumab biosimilar, Tuzno, that it submitted to the European Medicines Agency. The company cited the negative opinion from the Committee for Medicinal Products for Human Use and the results of its re-examination period as reasons, and said that it plans to submit a new application at the end of 2022. The Center for Biosimilars interviewed Paul Ryder, Chief Commercial Officer at Coherus Biosciences, about its current pegfilgrastim biosimilar, Udenyca, and its soon-to-be-marketed products, Celtezo, an adalimumab biosimilar, and similarly, a ranibizumab biosimilar. During the interview, Ryder previewed the upcoming filing and potential launch of Coherus' on-body pegfilgrastim biosimilar that will rival Neulasta Onpro. Speakers at the DIA Biosimilars Conference concluded that better consensus across regulatory agencies regarding biosimilar policies could help promote biosimilar uptake. The speakers pointed out the definition discrepancies and concerns about evidence that switching between reference products and biosimilars is safe for patients, and offered suggestions for what agencies could do to instill confidence in biosimilars. A review article found that analytical and in vitro functional studies, along with pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic evaluation studies, may not be useful for evaluating the efficacy of biosimilars. The review provided recommendations for the World Health Organization Expert Committee on Biological Standardization in preparation for its planned revision of WHO guidelines. The authors of the review called for the new guidelines to clarify quality measurements, establish a stepwise progression to reduce the need for in vivo non-clinical tests, and reduce the requirement for confirmatory efficacy and safety studies. And lastly, a column from Dr. Ivo Abraham dove into how drug prices resulting from biosimilar competition have changed since the introduction of filgrastim biosimilars and factors that could contribute the most to price erosion. Abraham chronicled the pricing trends associated with the introduction of biosimilars for Neulasta, Neupogen, also known as filgrastim, Rituxan, also known as rituximab, Herceptin, also known as trastuzumab, and Avastin. Thank you for tuning into this special episode of Not So Different. To read more about the studies that we discussed today, you can find the links in the show notes, and until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.